some of the Talmidim asked me to discuss a few of the halachas related to Bidikas Chametz, the cleaning the apartments and the dormitory, maybe cleaning at home, some of the basic Rashi Prakim. So we know the Mishnah in Pesachim, the first Mishnah in Pesachim on that day, says that on the night of the 14th of Nisan, there's an obligation to do Bidikas Chametz. That's a mitzvah derabbanim, to do Bidikas Chametz. What's the purpose of the mitzvah? So the Rishonim explain in different ways that either the purpose of the mitzvah is so that one doesn't violate the Issa Daraisa to own Chametz and Pesach. One is not allowed to own any Chametz and Pesach. That's a Daraisa. The Chazal instituted that you have to check for Chametz to get rid of all the Chametz. The other explanation is that one also is not allowed to eat any Chametz and Pesach. That's also an Issa Daraisa. So as a gzera for that, or to protect from violating that Issa, so Chazal said that you have to do B'dikas Chametz before Pesach to make sure you don't have any chametz, because we're afraid you might find chametz in your house on Pesach. You'll find a Cheerio, you'll find a cracker, and you might come to eat the cracker. You'll forget it's Pesach and you'll come to eat. Okay, so to prevent these serim d'oraisa, Chazal instituted that one should be bodek for chametz before Pesach, and the zman that was given is the night of the 14th of Nisan. The Mishnah says that we're bodek l'or haner, that we're bodek by the light of the fire. That's what they used to do, right? You have a ner, a small fire, right? Not an avukah, as the Gemara says. You don't use a torch because we're afraid that you're not going to go b'chori mustakim, you're not going to go in the nooks and the crannies. You're afraid that you'll burn down your house. So you're not supposed to use an avukah because you're not going to check properly. So you're supposed to use a ner. And there are also, there's a remez and psukim, why it's important to use the ner. But that's the mission. The maisa b'zman hazeh, most people don't use fire. We don't walk around with the fire. We have the fire on the stove. So many poskim, Rabbi Willig and others, hold that maybe b'zman hazeh, you're not going to check as well if you check l'or haner. You take like a candle, like a Hanukkah candle, and you try to check. So you're afraid you're going to drip the wax on your carpet, and you're going to, if you had stone floors, not such a big deal to drip it. But if you have a carpet, that you spend money for, so, you're going to be very careful. So even if you take an aluminum foil and you put it, and you try to be careful, but you're not going to really check. You're certainly not going to go in the car and stuck in. So many poskim assume that once you take a flashlight nowadays, take a flashlight. You can get the light is just as good from a flashlight, maybe even better, and you can be bodek properly like that. Some actually starred l'or haner to be yotze the pasuk. There's an inyan to use the or haner, and then they move to the flashlight pretty soon after being bodek a little bit. They'll move to the flashlight, but others just are bodek with a flashlight from the beginning. It's important to keep in mind the midikas chametz that you're not looking for the crumbs, right? Because crumbs are not significant, right? You're not gonna be over on the crumbs if you own crumbs on Pesach. We're not concerned that you're gonna eat crumbs. You find, oh, that's a nice crumb. You're not gonna eat a crumb on Pesach. We're concerned that there'll be a gluski or yofa, as the Gemara says, right? You'll find a gluski or yofa. You find a nice piece of cake. Yeah. Find a nice cookie. Find a Cheerio. Okay, one Cheerio. Yeah, maybe. Okay, a Cheerio. But not crumbs. So we're not looking for crumbs over here. We're looking for pretzel. A pretzel. A pretzel. If you have little kids around, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? That we're afraid you'll find a pretzel in the back of mommy's, this and that. It happens. Trust me, it happens. Right? You'll find the chalamoy. Then they come and they call and they say, what do? We sold the chametz. Do we have to burn the chametz? It happens, right? So that's what we're afraid of. You'll find a pretzel. You'll find a Cheerio. You'll find a cookie. You'll find a cracker. And you might forget it's Pesach, and you'll eat it. Okay, so, many people feel like searching, like checking for the chametz, or cleaning up the house for Pesach. It's so burdensome to clean up. Most of the cleaning we do is spring cleaning. That is not what we have to do to clean for Pesach. To clean for Pesach, you want to see if you find anything big. Don't find anything big, just put everything right back and shalom al Yisrael. Right? You don't have to. So people are vacuuming and this, that's wonderful to clean. But we have to remember, if we're going to complain and say that I can't do it, Ichkenish, it's just too much for me cleaning for Pesach. So just make sure that you're cleaning for Pesach or you're cleaning for some other purpose. Okay, so we have to keep in mind what we're cleaning for. Okay, we're trying to look for something large, something that maybe if you find on Pesach, you might want to eat that. You might be machshivit, and you might want to eat it. The Gemara Pesachim points out that someone who's in his home 30 days before Pesach, Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag, Shalom V'Darshim V'Hilchas Achag, it's already viewed as as before Yom Tov, is connected to the Yom Tov. So Chazal made a takana that the mitzvah b'dikas chametz is chal, it takes effect on anyone who's in their home 30 days before Yom Tov. Not just the night of the 14th, but even if you're there 30 days before, there's a chiyuv of b'dikas chametz. But the Tosefta does point out that one can sell the chametz to a guy. It's a famous Tosefta. One of the most famous Toseftas, right? Someone is coming in a Sina, he's coming in the boat, and he's had chametz, and he remembers, and he wants to sell it to the guy. So the Tosefta says you can sell it to a guy. Bizman azeh, many people do a mechiras chametz to a guy. They have chametz, they can't get rid of the chametz. Right? Whether it's schnapps, that's chametz gomor, or even tarobas chametz, mixtures of chametz and other things. People have a minig. There's a minig to sell the chametz to the guy. The case of the Tosefta was a situation of a hefsid. Person was afraid he'd lose a lot of money from that, you know. But the reality is that's what the minig has developed, that we do sell chametz to a guy. Some people are machmir not to sell chametz to a guy unless it's a hefsid meruba. They're not going to sell the chametz to a guy. But most people do. It's important to keep in mind what we're doing with this mechiras chametz. Right? We're not selling the chametz to the rabbi. I just read an article, someone was telling a story, they said that so-and-so sold chametz, you know, this Rav sold his chametz to that Rav every year. And I said to myself, no, he never sold his chametz to the Rav. He made the Rav a shliach to sell his chametz. The Rav is not buying the chametz. The Rav just becomes a shliach. You think that you're selling it to the Rav because the Rav picks up whatever he picks up, or the pen, or the handkerchief, or the yarmulke, or whatever. No, that's just a kinyan chalipin to be mechazek the shlichus. Why do you have to be mechazik a shlichus? Do you ever make a kinyan chalipin on a shlichus? Never, really. Right? The answer is that we're afraid people are going to look at this mechira as a joke. It's a harama ba'alma. The whole thing is a joke. We don't take it seriously. So we do the kinyan chalipin to show that we want to be serious about it. We want to be really super serious about it. But it's not that you're selling the chametz to the Rav. It's making the Rav a shliach to sell the chametz to the guy when he does it. You know, you could be doing the kinyan on the shlichus a week before Pesach, and the Rav is going to sell it the day before, or the day of Erev Pesach, or we'll talk about a mechira on the day before Erev Pesach. But you're not actually selling the chametz to the Rav. Some ask, well, let's say I can't make it to the Rav. I can't. The Rav, you know, I forgot, and I'm not going to be able to make it to the Rav. Can I make him a shliach over the telephone? The answer is, of course you can. But you should say, I'm making you a shliach. I hereby make you a shliach. Believe sholing. B'gmiras das. Use some kind of a lashon that shows that you really accept the Rav upon yourself as a full shliach. So that sort of takes the place of the kinyan chalipin. The kinyan chalipin is all about a kinyan das. It's all an expression of das. So as long as you express to the Rav that b'leiv sholem, you're making him a shliach, b'chora, that should be good enough. So you could do it on the telephone, you could do it via Zoom, you know, you could do it in such a way that we know that it's done b'leiv sholem. I'm not sure if you could do it via email. I know these email... You gotta make a person a shliach in a serious way, so that you know that you realize that you're doing something serious. The more of a joke that it is, the less serious, you know, the less tokef there is to that shlichus. If you treat it like a joke, so then it becomes a joke and it's not really serious. You want to make it as serious as possible. Okay, so that's what people do. It's a big machlokas minhagim whether you can sell chametz gomer, don't sell chametz gomer. I think for schnapps, many people are takamekel because it's expensive. You know, if you have, I don't know, one bottle of schnapps, even if it's only one bottle, but you know, who knows, maybe it costs $50. I got it. Right, maybe it costs $150 or more. That's the cheap bottle, right? Or especially if you have, I don't know, six or seven bottles, maybe you have a whole martef of... I hope not, but whatever, yeah, you know, a person's stash of schnapps could cost a couple $100, and what, every Pesach you have to just, you know, give up $500 worth of schnapps. So many people are making when it comes to schnapps because they treat that as a hefsid meruba, even though schnapps really is chametz gomer. Others have a minig to sell chametz gomer. They'll sell cereals, and they'll sell crackers, and they'll sell chametz gomer. And others feel that, you know, tarobas chametz is more lenient. It's not chametz gomer. So they're willing to sell tarobas chametz, but they don't sell chametz gomer. There are a lot of things that have a tarobas of chametz in it, but there's no chametz gomer per se. So there are different minhagim. A person should follow the minhag of their family. They sell chametz gomer, so then it's permissible to do that. Permissible to sell chametz gomer. Some people have a minhag, they sell chametz gomer before Pesach because they don't know if the person who's going to be selling the chametz after Pesach, if it's a suffix, whether he's a Jew or, you know, who the distributor is, they don't know where the chametz is coming, it's, you know, it could be a real problem. Right? If the Jew owned the chametz over Pesach, it could be a terrible problem. Some people actually buy chametz over Pesach and they sell it. They sell that chametz gomer so that they'll have chametz after Pesach. They're hoping that the non-Jew won't take it. If the non-Jew takes the chametz, forget about it. It's a mechira gemura. If the non-Jew takes all the chametz, so then they'll have nothing. But if he doesn't, like he hasn't done for the last 30 years, if he doesn't take the chametz, so then they'll have chametz after Pesach. Interesting concept. Yeah. Yes.
And like United States law.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the legal. Yeah, we'll get to it. Before we get there, what's the din if a person is not going to be home for Pesach? Right? He's going to leave on the 14th of Nisan. Erev Pesach, he's going to pick himself up and leave. So does he have to do bedikas chametz? Or can he just sell everything to the goy? Can he sell the home to the goy? So that's a big discussion in the poskim. The Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Tav Lamed Vav, he quotes a machlokas achronim. Is there a chiyuv of bedikas chametz for someone who's going to sell all of his chametz to the guy the next day? If on Erev Pesach he sell all the chametz to the guy, maybe he doesn't have a chiyuv of bedika. So some say that he does have a chiyuv of bedika. If he's in his home the night of the 14th, he has a chiyuv of bedika, even if he's going to sell everything to the guy. And there are other achronim that say that what's the difference between this and beer? Bedikas chametz, you're searching for all the chametz, and then whatever you find, you're going to burn Erev Pesach. So if you're going to sell everything, so the mechira is like a beer. Right? So if you're going to sell everything to the guy, then why should you have to do a bedikah? You're selling everything anyway. So it's as if you found everything that you need to find, then you're going to burn everything that you need to burn, but you're not doing any of that. You're just selling instead of the burning. So what's the difference? It's the machlokas. Machlokas is, you're in the home the night of the 14th, is there a chiyuv of bedikas chametz? Or do we say that the mechira the next day, that's a place of the beer, and there should be no chiyuv of bedikas chametz? The Chasam Sofer has a pshara. Right? The Mishnah Berurah says that those who are mekel, you can't be mocha with the hands of those who are mekel, but there are those that are machra. But the Chasam Sofer has a pshara, and he says the following. He says that really, mitzad the home, mitzad the chiyuv to have a home that's baduk, so you can be yotze with mechir. There's no reason not to be, because it's not going to have any chametz in it. If you sell the chametz, right? And we have a minute to sell the mokum that the chametz is on, to rent it, to rent it out to the guy or to sell it to the guy. So if you sell the home, you sell the apartment, so then you certainly have been yotze yochiyev of bedikas chametz. Right? Mitzad the chovas habayis. Right? There's a chovas habayis to make sure that the bayis is baduk. But says the Chasam Sofer, there's also a chovas hagavra. Chazal put on you a chovas hagavra, that if you're in the home in the last 30 days, then you have a chiyuv bedikas chametz. So even if by selling, right, you haven't violated the takana sacharim of bedikas chametz, but you haven't fulfilled the chovas hagavra. So the Chasam Sofer says that even if you want to sell the entire home, you should leave over one room, leave over one spot where you can be mekayim the chovas hagavra of bedikas chametz, and make that spot easy. Like don't leave the kitchen, right? Don't leave the dining room. Leave an area where you know that, you know, it's very unlikely there's a lot of chametz there, and it doesn't take very long to check or to clean up. So you'll be able to clean the floor, you mop the floor, you vacuum, whatever, and then you're bodik in that area, and that's sufficient. Because then you're yotze everything. Then you can be yotze, you're not over the takaros hachamim, because through the mechira, the home is going to be baduk, but at the same time, you'll be able to be yotze the chovas hagavra. Lemaisa, therefore, if a person is leaving his home, say he's going away to a hotel, and he's leaving Erev Pesach, he's leaving on the 14th. So there are some who hold, if he's leaving on the 14th and he sells it to the non-Jew, then there's no problem. Like the mechira, the Rav is going to do a mechira before the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz, right? Before whenever that is, right? 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, he's going to sell the chametz to the non-Jew. So then everything is fine. Others on Machmer for the Chasam Sofer, they leave over one spot and they check that area. And some hold because they're afraid, right? Because they're afraid that they were there in the house the night of the 14th and they had a chiyuv bedikas chametz, right? They would have had a chiyuv bedikas chametz, so they're machmer to actually sell the chametz with the rav on the 13th, not the 14th, but the 13th. They sell the previous day. The shaila, if they can stay in the house afterwards. Different rabbonim do different things. I think Rabbi Willig tells the non-Jew that for years he did a bedikas chametz with a Mr. Brown, a certain non-Jew. I think he was nifta. He passed away a year or two ago. But he always used to say, he would tell Mr. Brown, and whoever is doing the Mechira, your Gimel, you know, they might stay in their home a little bit, but they're going away to Yom Tov. Is that okay with you? And Mr. Brown said, yes, Rabbi, it's fine. Everything's fine. So as long as you clear it with the non-Jew, it's okay. You can stay there. Stay there until the Zman is Rechilas Chametz. Right? I mean, after the Zman is Rechila, the Chora, you should get out of there, because if you don't, then you really haven't solved the problem, right? The concern that you might come to eat Chametz exists. So, you know, really, you should try to get out of there before the Zman of the Yisra Achilas Chametz. Some are still Mekel, even after that time, from Mekel until Chatzos, because even if there's a Zman of the Yisra Achilas Chametz, it's an Yisra Rabbanan, it's not a Chiyav Kores yet, so maybe you can still be Mekel, you know, but you should try to leave as soon as you can, really, as soon as you can, preferably before the Zman of the Yisra Achilas Chametz. Okay, so there are different things that people do. You know, sometimes some people try to be part of the Mechira Yud Gimel, the earlier Mechira, and some are not machmir that, they just sell with the rav, you know, they make the rav a shtef to sell on the 14th, and they make it for the rachronim, and some are machmir for the chasim sofer that they leave over a space and they do the bedika in that spot. Now you should keep in mind that if you're going to be in the hotel the night of the 14th, so then you really don't have a chiyuv in your home. You really could sell the whole apartment. Could sell the whole apartment, or the whole home, on the 13th with the earlier mechira, because you're going to be leaving. You're leaving a couple of days before Yom Tov. So if you're going to be in the hotel or in the home that you're renting or whatever, you're going to be there before. So then technically you could be yotze yochiyav v'dika in that spot, right? Even the chasam sofer you could be yotze in that spot, right? So, question is, if you're in the hotel, you first come the night of v'dikas chametz. The hotel is completely baduk. I would hope that they check the hotel for chametz. Now people are going to be very, very upset. They're paying, you know, just a couple of pennies to go to the hotel, so I certainly hope it's clean. So it's a shaila if you really can do a bedika in that mokum. Bedika in that mokum. I mean, if you're there for a little bit, you know, for some time before, and you come with chametz, but you're being very careful not to spread it throughout the whole apartment or throughout the whole home, so then maybe there is a chiyuv of bedika there. That would be the best thing, right? That if you come, let's say, a day or two before, right? And you do have chametz, but you're being very careful to keep it in one spot, so then you'll have a chiyuv bedika in that spot, in that home, and that's it. You'll do the bedika there the night of the 14th. If you're coming right then and there, or you're coming the 14th, you're coming Erev Pesach to a mokum that's baduk, you don't really have a chiyuv bedika. In that case, if a person wants to be machmir for the chasam sofer, they should leave over a spot in their home or in their apartment and do the bedika there at home. Yes?
It's the shaila. If someone cleaned their house also, they still have a bedika, even though they're not expecting to find chametz.
Okay.
So it's meaning if they come to a hotel, even if it's already probably clean, why is there a difference in someone's house or in the hotel?
No, the Gemara says that if someone gives you a makom that's baduk and they tell you that it's baduk, so then you don't have a chiyuv bedika, because you never had ownership of a home within 30 days that had a chiyuv bedika. Mm-hmm. See, if your home had a chiyuv bedika, so you think you're only doing bedikas chametz the night of the 14th, but you're not. You're actually searching for the chametz the whole month, right? It's just the final, there's a takonas chachamim to do bedikas chametz the night of the 14th. So that's the culmination of the process. It was a makom she'eno baduk, so there was a chiyuv bedika. But if you come into a makom baduk within 30 days, then there might not be a chiyuv bechlam. L'chatchila, a person should be bodek the home the last night that they're in the home. Right? So if you're there the night of the 14th, you're leaving Erev Pesach, then you have a chiyuv bedika that night. But let's say a person is leaving a few nights before, and let's say they are going to be bodek that area. And say they do want to be bodek. Let's say a person is in the dormitory. Let's say he has an apartment. He's going to be bodek his apartment. But he's not going to be there the night of the 14th. So the chiyuv is really to be bodek the last night. So like, let's say a person's last day in yeshiva is going to be on Thursday, right? So a lot of guys are probably going to be bodek their apartments or their dorms Wednesday night, because they're not going to be there Thursday night. They're not going to be there Thursday night, so then you should be bodek before. If you'll still be there Thursday night and you're leaving Friday morning, or let's say you're leaving 11 o'clock at night on Thursday night, then you can be bodek on Thursday night. Right? But the last night that you're there, that's the time that you should be bodek. But the Eved, if you weren't bodek at night, the Mishnah Berurah does say that you should be bodek bayom. At least do a bedikas chametz bayom. We like it at night because Chazal say that the contrast of the dark with the candle, with the light, you can see into the nooks and crannies much more than by day. By day, you think you're seeing everything, but sometimes you can miss something. The way that the light plays on you, you can miss something. So it's better to be bodek at night, but b'dieved, if you didn't, you could be bodek by day. What happens if a person is leaving his home for Pesach, but he's giving rishus for someone else to stay in the home? It's very common, right? A person has a home in the community, and someone is having their children come, right? A person who lives in the community is staying for Yom Tov, right? They're not going away to the hotel. Their next door neighbor is going away to the hotel, but they're staying, and the kids are coming, so they ask for rishus, can we use your house? Right? So, it's best case scenario, right? The person who lives in the home, he doesn't have to do b'dikas chametz because he's not going to be there. Right, he's selling his house, right? So the non-Jew is going to own the house, but he's going to allow someone else to stay in the house. So great, this person gets his children to stay there, and this person doesn't have to do b'dikas chametz because he sells the house to the guy, and everything is great, right? Wrong, because it just doesn't make any sense. If the whole point of b'dikas chametz is because we're afraid that you might come to eat the chametz, so if there's no b'dika, right? So how can someone stay in the home? Someone has to do a b'dika. Right. It's a very tricky business because the people who are leaving don't want to do b'dika. They're paying a lot of money to go to hometown, so they want to get out of doing b'dika chametz. So now they have to do a favor to the next door neighbor, but the reality is that they have to do b'dika chametz. Not so simple. The best thing is that the people who are coming in, the kids who are coming in, they should come a day earlier and they should do b'dika chametz. Right? They're not going to be eating in that place, so they can cordon off the kitchen. Don't go into the kitchen at all, right? They shouldn't go into the kitchen at all, but they should have a makom where, you know, in the bedroom where they're going, they should look around. I don't know if the people are going to let them open up the drawers, but they should open up the drawers, open up their closets, look under the bed, see if there's anything there. I'm sure it's going to be clean, but they have to check, they have to see what's there. So someone should do a b'dikas chametz, because if not, then you're staying in a place, these people are going to be staying in a place that should have had a b'dikas chametz done, and no b'dika was done. So it's important to keep in mind that someone really should be doing a b'dikas chametz. Another shaila that often comes up, especially with newly married couples, is that, you know, they want to split between the in-laws and the parents. So they go to the in-laws for the parents, for the starim, and then they split in the middle. So what do? They have to take all their clothes for the whole yom tif? It's a lot. It's a lot to take. So sometimes they want to go back to the apartment, like to switch. They put the dirty laundry there and they take move on. So the question is, if you sell the whole apartment to a non-Jew, what gives you the right to go back to the apartment? It doesn't even belong to you. We not only sell the chametz, but we sell the makom. Sell the makom that the chametz is in. Right? Sell the makom. We do a kinyan chatzah on that. Right? We sell the makom so that you can sell the chametz even through kinyan chatzah. So is it really permissible to go back home to exchange your clothing? So it depends on the mechira. The Rav should really ask the guy permission to allow people just to go back in. Don't go into your kitchen. You've got to go, you make a beeline to your bedroom and just take the clothes, and that's it. Rabbi Willig always asked Mr. Brown about this. He always used to ask Mr. Brown, is it okay if they go back in the middle of the Yom Tov to get the clothes? Yes, Rabbi, it's okay. He would ask to make sure everything is clear. It's a serious machir. It's not a joke. You can't say, it doesn't really matter. You have to make sure that the non-Jew gives rishus, he gives permission, and then it's permissible to go back. But if I go back, then what kind of a sale is that? The guy owns it, but they're not going. No, but if he gives you permission to go back, so then that's part of the sale. Right? But he gives you rishus, despite the fact that he's buying the property, but you just have to do it in a way that you're not making the whole machir into a joke. If you're going to go into your kitchen where the chametz is, so then what have you accomplished? Right? You have to only go into the bedroom. Go straight to the bedroom. Be very careful. You make a guard. You set a guard up right in front of the kitchen. And no one should go near the kitchen. No one should go where the chametz is. And then you exchange the clothing. And then you'll be able to go on your merry way. Okay, if there are two roommates in the dormitory or in the apartments, so let's say one is leaving earlier. So the one who's there later has that chiyav bedika. He'll have the chiyav bedika at the very end. So he should do the bedika. He could do it for both of them. The last one there can do the bedika for both of them. Normally, it's not so complicated. I mean, obviously, the more complicated it is, so then each person should do the bedika for themselves. But it's the same room. You know, two beds in one room. It's sort of strange to do a bedika on this side of the room, and how about the middle between the two beds? Really, it's easier just to have one roommate do the bedika for both of them. it's important to keep in mind that that when you sell, if you sell your apartment or any kind of mechiras chametz, the guy has to have access to the apartment. If he doesn't have access to the chametz, then the sale is sort of meaningless. Because the point of the sale is that if the guy really wanted to get the chametz, he'd be able to get the chametz. So it used to be that people would leave keys with a rav, or if they're there for yom tov, obviously you don't have to leave the key because the guy wants it. He'll knock on the door and you'll let the guy in. Nowadays it's much easier. If you have a Shabbos lock on your home, so you could just leave the Shabbos lock. Right? You leave the combination with the rav, or even if you don't want to give the combination to the rav, you give your cell phone number to the rav. Then if the guy will want the chametz, and the rav will call you on the cell phone, you'll give the combination to the Shabbos lock, and the guy will be able to come in. The truth is, obviously, with most mechiras, we're assuming the guy's not going to want to. They make a deal. They tell the guy that, you know, you can't, if you take a little bit of chametz, you're really going to have to take more. It's not like you can just take one churiyam. You know, we make it that he's selling all the chametz together, so either you take everything or take nothing. You know, so most goyim are not going to do such a thing. But you have to have the access for the guy available, because if not, then the whole thing is just a joke. Some ask, how can I rent my apartment to the guy? But it says in my contract that I'm not allowed to sublease the apartment. So I can't rent it to the guy, so how does that work? Rabbi Willig says that this is not included within that line of the contract. This is a religious sublease. You're subleasing it only for religious purposes. So he says it doesn't go against your contract. It's perfectly permissible to do that. Some have a minig to be machmer to sell even some toiletries that have alcohol content in it. But it's denatured alcohol. In the current state, no one can drink that. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Wrote to Rav Shimon Eider when Rav Shimon Eider wrote a sefer on Hilchos Pesach many years ago. Rav Moshe wrote to him that the people who really have an addiction to alcohol, they have ways they can turn things back into alcohol that is edible. So because there's the potential to turn it back into edible alcohol, Rav Moshe felt that one should sell that as well. So that goes for liquid forms of alcohol. You know, medicinal or mouthwash or some kind of liquid forms of things that we use, toiletries that we use, but creams, any solid form, any cream that's nifsal me'afilas kelev, there's no concern about such things. You don't have to sell the solid toiletries, but the liquid toiletries that have some kind of alcohol content, many are machmer to sell. We don't sell the belios, the absorptions in the pots and pans. We don't sell pots and pans to the goy. Right? If it has pieces of chametz in it or whatever, some people are machmer to sell the housing of their mixer. If the housing has any chametz in it, they sell the housing. It's a chumrah. It's only crumbs. It's not really a davar choshev. But the belios we certainly do not sell. And in fact, we should not sell the pots and pans, because if you sell the pots and pans to the goy, and there's a shayla after Pesach whether you have to do a tefillas kalim on the pots. Because then it's kalim that you buy from a non-Jew. So better not to sell the pots. Don't sell the pots. There's no problem with owning the chametz that's absorbed inside the pot. And that's not an issue, so you shouldn't sell the pots. We make a bracha on bedikas chametz on the night of the 14th, because that's the ikar takana derabbanan. But if you are bodek before the night of the 14th, we don't make a bracha. And by the same token, there's really no chiyuv to put out the 10 pieces of bread. You put out 10 pieces of bread if you bodek the night of the 14th, because we're afraid of a bracha levatola. You're going to make a bracha and then you're not going to find anything, so we put out 10 pieces of bread. But some poskim say we put out 10 pieces of bread also so that it's a serious bedika. You know, when the husband goes to Mariv, so then the members of the household should put out the 10 pieces of bread, and they shouldn't tell the husband or the father where the pieces are. Then he has to go find the pieces. So toch kidei, finding the pieces, he'll check all over the place. So it's not just for the bracha, but the purpose of the 10 pieces is that he'll take a go around and search and look and try to find something. And then it becomes a whole joke that they try to hide it in a place where he's not going to be able to find it. And then the chametz spills, and they have to start cleaning again. And whatever. Try to do it in a way that you're not going to spread the chametz all over the house again. But someone who's bodek before the night of the 14th, technically speaking, the postman say you don't have to put out the 10 pieces of bread. Okay, we should all be bodek for chametz properly, bodek for the real chametz, and be bodek for the chametz inside the lathe, the inner chametz. We should taka be bodek for the inner chametz as well. We should all have a chag klasher v'sameach.
Thank you.